for $90,000 in prizes. Then at 7 p.m. sharp, it's PRCA rodeo time. Bucking Bronx, rank bulls, roping, racing an all-out Wyoming grit. After the dust settles, head downtown for the Wyo Rodeo Street Dance. Live music, cold drinks, and good times.
This Wyo Rodeo Daily Schedule is brought to you by Prime Rate Motors, keeping Sheridan rolling strong through Rodeo Week and beyond. No bull, just great deals.
Warmer weather means it's officially roofing season, and Branded 307 is getting to work. If your home was hit by the hail last year and you haven't had your roof inspected, now is the time. Most insurance companies only allow for 1 year from the date of loss to file a claim. After that, the cost could be out of your pocket. Whether you're looking to replace your shingles or want to upgrade to an impact-resistant metal roof, visit Branded307.com or call for your inspection today. Branded 307, branding one home at a time.
Quit spending more than you have to for irrigation systems. This is Brad Walden with C&K Equipment, and we're now selling and installing T&L irrigation systems. There's no better system, period. T&L irrigation systems are forged in America. They have the best water patterns, a winning edge controller, their hydraulics-based systems, and tidal hydration lug means less downtime. Plus, if you're having problems, we're there to service, even on weekends. We know time is money. Call us, C&K Equipment Sales, 674-6405.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
It's Wednesday, July 9th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining me this morning from the Wyoming Game and Fish Department is Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
Now, I want to welcome you back and ask how things have been going out at the department this summer season.
Going good. Yeah, busy, busy and good. You know, it's field season, so everyone's kind of going every which way, you know, for certainly for the fish biologists, very busy time. They're out in the field. They're traveling, you know, our region, especially for the fish region, it covers all of Northeast Wyoming. So, I mean, they're going over to Newcastle. They're going to, you know, Gillette, all the way over Sundance area. So they've got a lot to cover. So they're on the road a lot, up in the mountains, trying to do population sampling, kind of these high mountain areas. So it's a very busy time, certainly for them. AIS is very busy with all the check stations. Yeah, so there's a lot going on.
You know, I see the green truck and the boat in tow. driving over, I'm not going to say every morning, but I see him quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. They leave the office very early and come back late and start all over the next day. You know, it's such a short field season, you got to get it all done. So,
you know, Christina, there was a point in my life, much more recent than I want to share, where I thought that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the individual in the boat doing fish counts. You know, the fish biology to me is fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. I studied it for a little bit and thinking that that was the direction I was going to head until someone got a hold of one of my papers, my scientific papers, and they said, you know what, kick that typewriter off. You're destined for something else. So I kicked the dust off and got to work. Now, let's start with a quick service update. I understand that the Sheridan Regional Office is going to be closed this Friday.
Correct. Starting at noon. So this is kind of a tradition, you know, annually close for half of the day on the Friday of rodeo week. So yeah, we will be open 8 to noon regular hours. So you can certainly come in if you had any business to do. But after starting at noon, we'll be closed for the rest of the day, back open regular hours, you know, starting Monday morning. So, if you have anything you need to get done, come in between now and noon on Friday. The boat check station though, across the street, the AIS inspection station, that will remain open regular hours. So if you need an inspection, that's still operating. But a reminder, they do not sell AIS decals there. They only do the inspection. So if you need a decal, licensed selling agents. So any of those in town that are open, you could do that. You can even get them online. So you could go that route. You just can't purchase them at the inspection station.
Switching gears on everybody. I got your story yesterday. I got it up as soon as it came in. We've heard a recent bear location had to take place right here in Sheridan.
Correct. Yes. North Sheridan area. It was spotted. Oh, gosh. Okay. So this was Friday evening. I think the 9 o'clock time frame on the 4th.
P.M.?
P.M. Yep. So got a report that there was a bear in that north, basically on the pathway in the North Park area. So, you know, not surprising. These bears move along, you know, these kind of green corridors, these riparian areas. You travel along a stream or a river and all of a sudden they're in town. So, personnel responded, a game warden responded. Of course, it's getting darker by the time he got there and didn't locate it. And then there was a call the next day that it was a few blocks away. We assume, we can't know for sure, but assume it was likely the same bear a few blocks away in a backyard where there were some domestic chickens that maybe he was investigating. So anyways, a biologist at that point was there and they were able to get eyes on it and get it immobilized and released on Sunday morning.
Well, it's fantastic that the relocation was able to take place. A lot of comments from what I saw. People thanking the department for taking that step. You guys do catch a lot of criticism when a bear does have to be euthanized, but you don't euthanize bears for no reason. That's one thing that I do want to let people know. It's because it's pretty much conditioned to find human habitat at that point, where no matter where you put this little guy, he's going to end up, or she's going to end up trying to find someplace with people, correct?
Absolutely. You're right. We do get criticism when we have to euthanize a healthy animal, and it is a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
That is something employees really do not want to do. So every situation is looked at individually. And so a lot of times, like in this example, we didn't have multiple calls about this bear. It wasn't multiple, like, okay, it was, you know, it was on this street and getting into trash. It was over at this house getting into bird feed. Sometimes we do have that history. Sometimes it's, you know, several days or someone calls and says, you know, son's been getting in my trash for a week now and I'm tired of picking it up and it's been a bear for a week. So again, every situation is different. So we can kind of look and see, okay, we know we have a bear that's been in this area for 2 weeks getting into various things. Or in this case, we didn't have these calls. So the first call that we got about it was on Friday. Second call was on Saturday. So there was not this known history of it's getting people food, it's hanging around people, it's, you know,
no longer scared of people.
So they look at every situation individually. They look at the bear's behavior. Does it still, you know, when they show up, does it still appear afraid of people? Is it not afraid of people? You know, there's all kinds of factors that go into a decision on what to do in these situations. So for this bear, we appreciate the public calling us right away. That's one bit of misinformation that's out there that I see a lot. People say, oh, there's a bear that's been getting into stuff here. Don't tell Game and Fish.
Yeah.
That's the exact opposite thing you want to do for that bear. Again, if that bear is there for 2 weeks and you, no one calls and no one tells us, that bear has developed a pattern of behavior that is very hard to break at that point. So relocation is best when that bear is identified as quickly as possible, when it arrives in an area and can be moved to new habitat. Because the problem is, once they learn, hey, I get all kinds of great food in this area right here.
Mm-hmm.
They're always on the hunt for food. They want calories. They need that. And they've learned, okay, people are kind of scary, but
They run when I show up.
But yeah, and I got all this chicken feed. Like I could sit and eat a bag of this. I've got all this bird seed from these bird feeders. I've got all this trash with leftover food. And, you know, they learn that. They're very smart. They know these areas. They come to rely on these areas and say, okay, these are places I need food. So then when you move it, it's going back to a lot of times, and you can't predict, you know, yeah, this one may or may not come back. Sometimes they never come back. Sometimes they're back in a week. Sometimes they come back 2 years later. Sometimes they never come back. So every situation is unique and different. But we do, you know, our preferred management option is to move them if we can. If their behavior and their known history says that they might be a candidate for relocation. So, but again, if they've established that pattern, if they are food conditioned or habituated, used to being around people, used to getting people food, you know, it makes it more likely that a bear then comes back from where you move it to the same spot because it's a known resource, or you've moved the problem to another area.
And you've made it somebody else's
And you've
issue.
Made it someone else's problem. So, you know, even though we take bears, you know, to remote areas of the bighorns, bighorns have lots of people and businesses and things going on up there. And those
campers,
and then bears say, oh, well, there's people. Maybe there's food there. So, we really need the public's help. We really need the public's help, one, to prevent these conflicts, keep things picked up. Keep your trash. And the big ones, of course, are garbage left out, you know, on the side of the road. You know, maybe trash pickup is on Wednesday, but you set it out on Friday and it sits there, you know, for several days. And, you know, it just allows time for a bear to access that garbage. So keep it in the garage, keep it in the shed, something like that where the bear cannot get to it. Take it out the morning of pickup. Bird feeders. We've talked about this, you know, bird seed is nice high calorie food for them.
Absolutely.
They get that. You know, I understand people like to feed birds. Just put a small amount, you know, just either put that bird feeder where a bear cannot get it, like in a spot where they cannot climb up a tree. They can't, you know, I see a lot of people just hanging it on, you know, a little hook right in their yard. You know, I mean, anything can grab it. So think strategically, where can you put it that it's going to be out of the reach of bears, or put the tiniest amount in it. So the birds are going to eat it up in just a few minutes and then it's empty.
Yep.
And there's not going to be a food reward if a bear were to find it. So, you know, there's a couple of different ways to do that. Backyard domestics, you know, people keeping bees, keeping chickens, keeping ducks, keeping goats, those kinds of things. Just keep in mind you've put an attractant in your backyard when you have those, and there's ways to protect them. You know, again, keep all associated feed. If you got chicken feed, supplements, all of those things, same thing with your trash. Keep it in a hard-sided shed, keep it in the garage, something like that, so the bear can't access it. And then protect those animals. Any farm and ranch store here in town, I'm sure, would be happy to help you pick out some electric fencing. Electric fencing can be very effective in, you know, preventing bears from accessing those animals. So just need to put some thought into it. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in bear country. We live in bear habitat. Even though we think, oh, bears belong in the mountains, bears are omnivores. They're very adaptable. They can move very long distances. And yes, even here in Sheridan, pretty much every year we have a bear that comes into Sheridan or the outskirts of Sheridan. Story, Bighorn, Dayton, all these places. Even though you're not in the mountains proper, people think, oh, bears are in the mountains. We have lots of good bear habitat in other places. So, you know, we need to be mindful of that.
And as you said, you know, they're just following the riparian areas. It's rich with food. Usually they might be able to pick up a beaver or something along the way, and they're going to follow that right down into the valley.
Yeah, a lot of times that's what happens. You can see kind of, you know, especially if we get phone calls of like, oh, you know, we saw a bear here. You can kind of
track,
look and see, you know, a lot of cases, not all the time, but it is, you know, definitely a preferred avenue of travel is going along these riparian areas. So
we like to live there too.
Yeah.
that's the bite in all of it. So there you go, folks. You want to help the bears. Don't avoid calling the Game and Fish. The sooner you call the Game and Fish, the better for the bear. I've got my little hook. I've got my bird feeder out there, and that wouldn't stop a bear. And it certainly doesn't stop this squirrel that I have made pretty obese. The wife laughs every time he comes up. But yeah, I've got to stop feeding my birds because I'm overfeeding the squirrels. On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more of the Wyoming Game and Fish right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
At Pella of Wyoming, you get more value in more ways than one. For a limited time, get 20% off projects or 0% APR for 36 months. And that's just the start. Pella Windows and Doors deliver long-term savings with energy-efficient designs, industry-leading warranties, superior craftsmanship, and a team of dedicated experts to help you put it all together. Visit PellaSheridan.com/special offers and schedule your free consultation today.
At Legacy Diamond and Gems, you'll discover a gemstone as rare as it is remarkable, alexandrite. Famous for its dramatic color change from emerald green in the daylight to ruby red in candlelight, alexandrite is a stone of mystery, magic, and transformation. Sought after by collectors and romantics and anyone who is drawn to its mystery, alexandrite is as dramatic as it is beautiful. Find your alexandrite stone at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
Have you tried Designing Dinner's Sagewood North Cafe's Russian Egg and Olive Salad Sandwich? Egg and green olive salad served on homemade walnut bread with cream cheese, iceberg lettuce, and a drizzle of Thousand Island dressing, served open-faced and delicious. They have vegetarian and gluten-free options too. Order half a sandwich with homemade soup or enjoy an entree salad. See menus at designing-dinners.com. Open weekdays for lunch from 11 till 3 and dinner pickup from 9 till 5 at 615 Broadway in Sheridan. Call ahead for pickup.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Red Grade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides, perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be, horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. And this morning, I'm joined by Christina Schmidt with the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. All right, my friend. Now, we were just talking about bears. Folks, before I go too far and we start talking about hunting, what I want to do is kind of push you. If you're in one of these bear thoroughfares, which almost encompasses the entirety of Sheridan County, head on over to BearWise. This is a great resource on the Wyoming Game and Fish Department website, and they've got so much information over there. I've been putting this up on the site for years, and I'm still learning stuff. So go on over there. It's going to give you techniques and tips to help keep the bears out of the things that attract them to your home. All right, Christina, let's switch gears. Let's talk hunting. What exactly is a leftover license, and how do those differ from the draw tags?
Well, so they are, well, let me start. Okay, so there's an initial draw for licenses. After that, there usually are some leftover that did not go in the initial draw. So there's a period of time then where those are listed on the website. Hey, here's what's left over around the state, different hunt areas, different species. Then there's a second application period. So I believe that was June 23rd through the 27th. So you could go online during that time frame, look and say, oh, there's a license left over in Hunt Area X, and I would really like one of those. So you can apply just like you did, you know, or people do for the first draw. So you apply for the second one, and they do a second draw for these licenses. So that happened. Those, I believe, went out this morning. So it's just what was left over from the initial draw went into a second draw. People could apply for those. Then what happens is there might still be, in some areas, some licenses left over. And at that point, after the second draw, beginning on the 17th, they'll be available first come, first served. So you could purchase them over the counter along with general licenses. Those will go on sale at the same time. So you can still go online and look and see. So if you go to our website, you can look at the leftover licenses, and it's updated in real time as the season progresses. So you can see what's, you know, as things get sold around the state, you know, what is left. The big caution we have is that a lot of these are left over for a reason, and usually that's due to limited public access in some areas, right? So areas with good public access tend to be really sought after, and they're going to get
picked out first,
and then, you know, some of these other areas where either there's, you know, difficult public access or some are actually restricted to private land only. So they may be just available for use on private land. So we encourage folks, do some research before you put in for these licenses or at this point purchase one of the licenses. Our hunt planner is very, very helpful for that. It covers every hunt area around the state. So for instance, if you see, okay, there's some licenses left for deer in hunt area, whatever, and you can go and look. And our biologists and wardens several years ago put together very detailed information about every single hunt area, including public access. So, because there are some places that if you look on a map, you see, oh, lots of public land, but there may not be legal access to that public land. So that's kind of some of the detail you'll see in this hunt planner. It will be noted, like, hey, use caution. This map looks like there's a lot. There's really more limited than what it looks like. So it's a great tool. Go check it out. Do a little research before you apply for these. Or, you know, again, with some of these private land tags, do try to seek out permission now. Don't wait to get access to private property. We do not maintain a landowner list. So years and years ago, there was a landowner list of people that allowed hunting. We do not have that list anymore. So, but a lot of people think it's still there. So they pick up, you know, a license and then come and say, hey, where can I go? And, you know, really, they need to be doing
the legwork
right now. Don't wait. Go ahead. Start doing some research. Look around. See where you might be able to use some tags before you purchase the tag. So that's just a caution.
And the Access Yes program, this will link up to that as well, right? So if I see that, you know what, there's a lot of good hunt area back in here, but it's kind of private landlocked. Those who have joined the Access Yes program, all I got to do is get my app, look it up, and see if these people have actually joined this program and allowed individuals to go through there, right?
Yeah, so we have two big programs within the Access Yes. And you can go to Public Access. There's a whole tab on Public Access. So you can go there and do research. So like our wildlife habitat management areas, those are open for hunting, most of them. So take a look at that. Do a little research on all of those. Again, they have certain closure dates, which is going to be a theme with everything we're talking about here. Each area may be unique and have different rules, closure dates, species that can be hunted, things like that. So, you know, our habitat management areas are a great resource. But within the Access Yes program, we have the walk-in areas and we have the hunter management areas.
Okay.
So the walk-in areas are just like what they sound. So these are private landowners who have enrolled in the program. and you don't have to seek permission out or have a permission slip. You walk into these areas. Now, again, each one is individual and unique. You may not be able, you know, you need to look and see some places say, yeah, you can hunt deer, but not pronghorn.
Ah.
Or yes, you can hunt elk, but antlerless only. You know, so the landowner has a lot of flexibility of what they want access to provide on their property. So, and same thing with dates. So within the open season, there may be certain dates where the property is open or not open. So make sure you read through those very carefully. And again, if you know, look at these tags and say, oh, what are my public access options? So walk-in areas are a great thing to research. Hunter management areas are a little different. They tend to be bigger places. They may have more, you know, they may have some intermixed BLM or state land, things like that. And those do have a permission slip. So it's still, it doesn't cost anything, but you do need to get a permission slip. And those are going to open on July 21st at 8 a.m. And for those, again, this is statewide. So every place is going to be a little different. Some places are really sought after. So you want to get your application in to get one of those permission slips. So take a look, see if there's a place you want to go, dates that you have in mind, that kind of thing, and then be ready to apply for those at 8 a.m. on July 21st. And you do need to gather a little bit of information. You need to have like your sports person ID. You have to have a license purchased already for the species that you want to hunt.
Okay.
You need to have like a vehicle description of what you, you know, hey, here's what vehicle I'm going to go, because that's on the permission slip. And then again, kind of the dates you have in mind. So some places are pretty sought after. Like Fort Phil Kearney pheasant hunting, you know, I've talked about that. You know, they have specific time frames, time slots, you know, some in the morning, some in the afternoon, certain dates. Have an idea when you want to go, and you would probably want to put in for that right away. Some others you may have a little more flexibility. Maybe there's more permission slips available. You know, it's not as sought after. So, but I would definitely, if there's a place you want to go, I would go ahead and get your application in on the 21st. So we do have some access options. It just, you do need to do your research.
There's a lot that you got to get done to make sure that you're doing the right thing nowadays, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, these Access Yes properties are a great opportunity. I mean, they really are. Landowners that have enrolled in the program are really, you know, providing a great service for the hunting public. And, you know, please read through all the rules. The hunter management areas also have specific what we call ranch rules. And again, there may be things like, hey, you can drive on this road. Please don't go on this road. Or, yeah, you know, just things very specific to the property. And make sure that you can and will abide by those ranch rules before you put in. That's the reason we can keep these places is, you know, respecting the private landowner and what he or she want to happen on the property. So make sure, you know, that you will, whatever is in the ranch rules or sign, you will abide by.
Empathy and respect. It's that easy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you don't
absolutely
want somebody outside your yard taking pot shots at a calf or something, you know. And so don't do it to other people. I've got to take another commercial break. Christine, I want to thank you for coming in, speaking with me. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. And hopefully some bears stay up there in the mountains, and they don't go for a little jaunt down here where the rest of us are. Thank you. All right, when we come back, we're going to speak with Wyoming Independent Living. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to CHAPS Equine Assisted Therapy.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
This Wild Rodeo Daily Schedule is brought to you by Prime Rate Motors, keeping Sheridan rolling strong through Rodeo Week and beyond. No bull, just great deals.
It's day two of a 2025 Sheridan YO Rodeo Wednesday, July 9th. The carnival kicks off at 4 p.m. with rides, games, and fun for the whole family. The gates open at 5, followed by pre-rodeo entertainment at 6:30. Then you won't want to miss the World Championship Indian Relay Races at 7. Unforgettable as teams battle it out bareback for $90,000 in prizes. Then at 7 p.m. sharp, it's PRCA Rodeo time. Bucking Bronx, rank bulls, roping, racing an all-out Wyoming grit. After the dust settles, head downtown for the YO Rodeo Street Dance. Live music, cold drinks, and good times.
This YO Rodeo Daily Schedule is brought to you by Prime Rate Motors, keeping Sheridan rolling strong through Rodeo Week and beyond. No bull, just great deals.
When hail strikes, call the pros. Nate here with Pro Plus Roofing. Hail can cause damage to your home that may not be visible to the untrained eye. Give us a call for a free inspection and, if needed, a no-obligation estimate. We are licensed, bonded, and insured contractor in all of northeastern Wyoming and an endorsed, certified contractor for Malarkey Roofing Products, Owens Corning, and a CertainTeed Master Installer. Don't trust your biggest investment to an unestablished company. Call the pros. Pro Plus Roofing, 682-0889. In Sheridan, 675-0889.
Warmer weather means it's officially roofing season, and Branded 307 is getting to work. If your home was hit by the hail last year and you haven't had your roof inspected, now is the time. Most insurance companies only allow for 1 year from the date of loss to file a claim. After that, the cost could be out of your pocket. Whether you're looking to replace your shingles or want to upgrade to an impact-resistant metal roof, visit Branded307.com or call for your inspection today. Branded 307, branding one home at a time.
Hey, this is Chancey Williams. As many of you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, former saddle bronc rider, a proud UW grad, and lifelong cowboy. I switched to Blue Peak Fiber Internet in Laramie, and happy I did. It's reliable and keeps me in tune with my family, friends, and fans. Casper, Sheridan, and Cheyenne, you can get Blue Peak too. Say it with me. The world needs more cowboys and fiber internet.
Go online to mybluepeak.com to get all offer details for your home and business internet. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we're turning our focus to empowerment, accessibility, and independence. Joining me from Wyoming Independent Living, our Executive Director, Amy Burns, Independent Living Program Manager, J.J. Sanchez, and Sheridan's own Independent Living Specialist, Cora Cresselius. I got it right. Good morning. Welcome to the show, folks.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Amy, for those who may not be familiar, what exactly is a Center for Independent Living, and how does your organization serve the communities across Cowboy State?
Sure. Thank you. So a Center for Independent Living is a nonprofit organization that supports people with disabilities to live as independently in their community as possible. One of the things that makes us unique that we're really proud of is we don't just provide services to people with disabilities, but we are people with disabilities. So over half of our staff and our governing board are people who have firsthand experience of what it's like to navigate community with a disability.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Being able to, you know, a lot of times all we can do is empathize.
Right.
But to actually know the situation, know
yes.
what a day-to-day life is like. There's power in that. And now this year marks a major milestone, 40 years of service.
40 years of service.
That's pretty incredible.
It really is. We're really proud of that. We were established in 1985, and we've grown a lot over the years. We've learned a lot about what the community needs from us as a support organization, and we're really proud. We feel like we've really adapted and evolved over the last 40 years.
How has it grown? I mean, what does it really look like from the outside if we were to look at this organization, how it's kind of developed through the years?
So we've seen kind of a shift in some of the folks that are seeking services. Initially, the emphasis was on people who had physical disabilities, maybe some mobility challenges in the community. And now we have a much broader emphasis on the entire disability community. We work with folks that have intellectual and developmental disabilities. We recently launched a program serving disabled veterans.
Oh, wow.
We're working with a lot more youth, young folks that are coming out of school and figuring out what adult life is going to look like. So we've really broadened the scope of who we're able to serve and support.
That's pretty incredible. Now, you talked about the veterans and the kids coming out of school.
Yes.
When were those added, or about what time?
So working with youth has been an initiative for probably the last 5, maybe even 10 years. Our veteran program, we just recently started a collaboration with the Sheridan VA, and that's popped up within the last 18 months.
That's incredible. What sparked that?
So there's actually been a national push from the Veterans Health Administration to it recognizes that more and more veterans, as they're aging with disabilities, oftentimes they're having fallout from a service-connected disability. And there was a development of a program that allows veterans to hire their own caregivers to come in and support them in the home in an effort to keep people out of nursing homes that don't want to be there.
I got a brother that I served with, so an Army brother, and he actually has his wife as his caregiver. She went back to school. She learned all about his disability, and she became his live-in nurse.
That's excellent.
So it actually worked out really well for them both.
So glad to hear that.
Now, I understand that there's going to be a series of open houses happening across the state. Are there any coming up here in Sheridan or nearby that folks should know about? I'll send that to whoever wants to answer.
I could answer it, yeah. So we actually just had our open house in Sheridan yesterday.
Oh, it did happen.
But okay. We do have one coming up nearby. So on Thursday, we will be hosting our open house in Sheridan. Gillette, sorry. So just down the road, down 90 there. And it's going to be from 11 a.m. To 2 p.m. at our Sheridan office, which I believe is...
Gillette is 405 West Box Elder Road.
Thank you.
Look at you go, Amy, right off the top of your head.
Good, yeah.
Well done.
A little preparation goes a long way.
JJ, what will we see at the open house?
Yeah, so what we'll see is we're doing a big celebration, and I'm going to talk about it here soon, but we're really doing the celebration of our 40th anniversary and, you know, also bringing in the 35th anniversary of the ADA. We're going to have burgers and dogs, chips, cookies. Just a good way to connect with the community. We're inviting everybody to join us, no matter if you have a disability or not. Really just talking about our services, making these connections to the community, and just, yeah, having fun.
And making people aware. I mean, yeah. Awareness itself is such a challenge. And I know that sounds weird in today's age of social media and news platforms, but it can be a challenge, can it, Amy?
It can. Oftentimes what we see is people don't know about the supports out there until they need the supports.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of at a loss, and oftentimes people are scrambling. Many times by the time they've come to us, they've made 100 phone calls, and they keep getting passed down the road, and somebody else could probably help you. And our goal is, if it's anything disability related, call us and we'll get you more information and help you get further down the road.
And, you know, especially like with the veteran services,
yes.
Because I can speak from personal experience. You don't go looking
right
until you're in the darkest place. And then you start seeking some light. Now, JJ, you touched on this, but this month actually also marks the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And I got to looking things up this morning. That thing's happened within my lifetime. And it shocked me. It shocked me how, I guess I could say, new this actually is. What impact has the ADA actually had on the work that WIL has done?
It's in the work we do every day. As Amy hinted on, you know, we really work with folks on access needs, right? And that's really what the ADA is. It's providing that equal access to folks with disabilities. you know, the disability community really views the American with Disabilities Act as their civil rights act.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, it's only 35 years old. You know, we know there's still things to be done, but what's nice about us and what we have available is we have an ADA coordinator. Her name's Tina Bennett, and she's actually out of Gillette. And what she can do in ways that she does is she supports businesses to help them to be more accessible, you know, does trainings around the ADA. You know, a big training that's very popular is around service dogs, you know, and service animals, kind of what that looks like, what's allowed. You know, there's just different ways through the ADA and to help navigate those areas.
You know, I've watched a couple of videos about service dogs. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely incredible. And the things that these dogs are trained to do. Would blow people's minds unless you were involved in it or you were actually looking it up or doing the old thumb scroll like I do. Now, you're also organizing Peer Advocacy Conference mm-hmm. going on in Casper. This is going to be happening in August. What is the focus of this event primarily?
Peer connection. It really is peers learning from peers. We really wanted to focus that around the idea that people with disabilities are the experts. Right. They live the everyday their lives with their disability, how they work through that, ways they overcome different barriers in their lives. And it really is putting their focus on them. So making these connections, networking, hearing stories, hearing some of the great things people are doing, really trying to boost that advocacy piece and understanding. So like there's a big slogan in the independent living movement, which is nothing about us without us. So it's really teaching folks and trying to get that to go that if there's any decision making out there, we really need folks with disabilities at the table so that they can hear that, understand those. So that's really what that conference is about, is getting these connections building out. So a big push we're trying to do, so Amy had mentioned with the youth, is trying to get the youth involved. We're trying to do a youth night this year. And so the conference is going to be August 13th through the 15th. We're going to have that at the Ram Coda in Casper. Ways that folks can find out a little more information is they could go to our website, which is www.willer.org, and it'll have the information in our events calendar, and it will give them information on how to register. I would give out the link, but it's just so long. That could be a way for them to find out a little more information on the PAC conference. But yeah, our theme this year is the art of advocacy. Because it really is. It's an art, you know, it's a practice. There's a lot of technical pieces to it.
Who's going to be attending this? I mean, this conference, I'm sure that there's been invites sent out to various individuals. And what I would like to see are representatives, state senators, people from the government kind of stepping in and coming and learning about what's going on. Is there going to be anything like that? Or have the invites gone out?
You know, we really kind of see this as a peer-to-peer conference, but it doesn't mean that it wouldn't be something that we could invite folks to in the future. I'd love to kind of talk to, because what's great about this conference as well is we have peer advocates that join on the committee. So it really is committee work. You know, we all meet twice a month or every other week and we talk about this. So that could definitely be something we can discuss in the future.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, you know, having individuals who can have a sense of understanding about what people with disabilities go through. I think that can have, you know, an impact under the dome up in Cheyenne. Not that I'm trying to job or anything like that. It's just I really feel that, you know, some differences could be made if they could empathize and understand mm-hmm. where the disabilities are coming from within the community. Now, when we look at parents who may be, you know, may have a child with a disability, whatever that is, can they join in on this conference? I mean, you know, sometimes I've got friends who feel almost powerless. Mm-hmm. You know, their child had a disability. They had a crash course, like what Amy was saying. All of a sudden, now I've got to get all this information that I just didn't have access to. Can they sign up?
Yeah, we'd love that. We'd love to have them and their child to join. I think it'd be great. You know, that's a really big thing with that is, you know, kind of learning more, right? And like Amy was talking about earlier with youth, kind of that idea of transition out of high school, right? Or life after high school, what that looks like. And if you could start some of those tools and that advocacy training and things like that, that can make that a little easier. You know, we hear a lot from families and you know, wanting to kind of learn some of those things, different resources that may be available to them for their child, or, you know, help to support their child in, you know, moving through life and ways that they can, you know, navigate that.
Network and knowledge.
Exactly.
Two things that would empower a parent, and it sounds like both of them are going to be available at this conference. Now, one more time, when and where is it going to be taken?
So it's going to be August 13th through the 15th at the Ramcota Motel in Conference Center in Casper.
All right. Cora, you're based right here in Sheridan. What kinds of services and support can local residents access through the Sheridan WIL?
Well, at our office, which is 882 Lincoln Drive, right across the street from the Health Nut on 5th Street, we had several more gatherings and social events in our office before COVID. And so we're undergoing trying to open our doors again and gather people in our office. We have a lot of online programs and services that people can join through Zoom. And I encourage people to visit our website, WILR.org, to access those and register for those. But the first Friday of every month, we have Y Access and YD Pack meet and learn, discuss how to advocate for the disabled community. They take on topics like transportation and healthcare and housing and broadening access. And people can register and join through Zoom. And then every Wednesday afternoon from 1:30 to 3:30, we have a group called Create and Connect, where we do art projects or do yoga together, or we explore a topic by watching a YouTube video together and then talking about it. And we are launching open hours at the Sheridan office every Wednesday afternoon from 1 to 3, starting on July 23rd. People are more than welcome to come join us at the office at that time to sit at one of our tables, to talk to each other, to brainstorm together, to share resources, and avoid recreating the wheel.
Yeah.
We can share hardships. We can laugh together. We can advocate for each other. We can speak up for each other. And so it would be wonderful to gather people together in the office live to just meet each other.
And Cora, just like that conference, this is almost like a little local Sheridan conference. You know, everyone get together, network, and knowledge. Now, you know, you talked about COVID, and you guys are still reeling from that. You're not alone. Just so you know, I talked to a lot of 501c3s. I talked to a lot of volunteer organizations here in Sheridan. Everybody's still feeling the effects of that. You know, they had these high numbers. COVID hit, and everyone failed, not everyone, I guess, that's kind of throwing a wide net out there, but a lot of people failed to return to these organizations or found alternate avenues to get these things done. So when or prior to COVID, how big were some of these meetings? I mean, got a good network going on.
To be honest, I came after COVID.
Oh, so you're so okay.
So the BC days are before COVID and before Quora.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I am familiar with the weekly Zoom meetings that we do. And in positive terms, having everyone able to access Zoom from wherever they are increases accessibility.
Yeah.
And so it's wonderful we have that foothold, but it would be wonderful to gather people together in a live conference and just have the capacity to talk to each other.
And having new people.
Yes.
You know, either through this radio program or the story that I'm going to write or any other avenue. You know, like I said, parents who've moved in and are kind of walking around with their arms stretched out in a dark room trying to find a light switch. This is something that is vital, is to create that network of support together. The things that you can learn from each other. You know, it's amazing to watch, and it builds a sense of community when you feel like you're so alone, and then all of a sudden you show up somewhere and you're like, wow, not only am I not alone, but these people want to help.
And it allows every member to play multiple roles. They can come in thinking, I need help, I don't know any answers, and meet someone and be able to answer a question or offer some of their own experience. And all of a sudden, they're the expert that just helped make this person's day.
Hey, that's a great point. You don't know what you know until somebody asks, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've been in that situation. I know exactly what you're talking about. All right. Now, real quick, Amy, I've only got about a minute and a half left. Can you tell us a little bit about the Y Access and Good Business Initiative?
Absolutely. So this is kind of a spinoff of the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act. And we hear a lot that businesses sometimes struggle, even now, even with it being 35 years old, understanding what accessibility really means in their local business. And so what we want to do is really start by celebrating who's already got it down and where it's going well. So the program is called Y Access. The tagline is good access is good business. We try to educate businesses on the earning power, the buying power of the disability community, and how important it is to embrace them as customers. So we're going to be looking at kind of an informal process of everyday people with disabilities getting out there and celebrating businesses that are already inclusive, already doing a good job with accessibility. We want to promote them, we want to share that, and we want to give them advice on how to reach out to the disability community.
That's fantastic. Now, how do I access that?
So again, on our website, wilr.org, it's the Y Access Project, W-Y Access.
I want to thank all of you for coming in this morning and speaking with me. I didn't even know you were down the street, and now we do. And that's fantastic. I'd love to have you guys back in the future, and we can discuss some more. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Appreciate it.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
Doug, nothing says Sheridan Wild Rodeo Week like showing up in a shiny new Chevy Silverado from Waring Chevrolet.
Now you're talking my language, Bob. The Silverado's tougher than old rodeo bowl and smoother than your two-step at a street dance.
Hey, my two-step's a crowd favorite.
Depends on the crowd. Whether you're hauling gear to the fairgrounds, wrangling your friends, the Silverado will get you there in true cowboy style.
There's a whole corral full of vehicles. They're open all rodeo week and Saturday till 4.
No excuses, partner. Let's get you wild from Waring Chevrolet. Online, WaringSheridan.com.
Hungry? Busy rodeo week? McDonald's has got you covered, partner, with two Sheridan locations and extended hours so you can wrangle that hunger anytime. Need a quick start before sunrise? Grab an Egg McMuffin and a hot coffee. Craving a hearty meal after the rodeo? Saddle up with a double quarter pounder or a Big Mac. Feed the whole bunkhouse. And don't forget, you can download the McDonald's mobile app to order ahead and skip the line. Rodeo week is a bucking bronc, and McDonald's makes it easy to ride on full. North Main and Coffeen Avenue, let's get wild at McDonald's. Want to know what's going on Rodeo Week? Well, check out SheridanMedia.com and go to the Everything Rodeo page presented by Range. You'll see a schedule of activities for the week, entertainment, video interviews, photo galleries, as well as pictures and videos from last year. Keep going back because we'll be adding more pictures, videos, and activities every day. So when you want to know what's happening Rodeo Week, go to the Everything Rodeo page on SheridanMedia.com presented by Range. Live your West life. Official technology sponsor of the Sheridan Wild Rodeo.
Get tuned up this summer. Make sure your vehicle's running safely and smoothly with the auto experts at Midas. Make those car care dollars go farther with the summer repair specials at Midas. Save up to $100 on popular tire brands like Cooper, Goodyear, and BFG. Save $150 on shocks and struts. Brakes save $50. Starters and alternatives save $20 on that too. From bumper to bumper, Midas has you covered. One stop, total car care. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Brad at Primerate Motors. And let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media Guide keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best, Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results